We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I'm having a fun conversation about over 100 years of the evolution of the presidency, beginning with Woodrow Wilson. Stephen F. Hayward is the Edward Gaylor Distinguished Visiting Professor at Pepperdine University School of Public Policy. I don't mean to leave out Lyndon Johnson. He was a version of FDR. He was so impressed by him, which was a version of Woodrow Wilson. But we come to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is said to be unique in that he's not a politician. He challenges the courts. He challenges the Congress. He challenges media. Is there an analogy to him? Certainly not a statesman. What does he represent?
Yeah, you know, I have been trying to think of other political figures throughout history that he resembles, and I'm having a hard time coming up with any. He does remind me, I'll mention one that many listeners will think is absurd, but it might be Charles de Gaulle, whom most Americans don't really know much about or study. Now, Charles de Gaulle, I think, was a more intellectual person than Trump. He wrote some very thoughtful books on military strategy and stuff. But the thing about de Gaulle is he had a ginormous ego. And he could be quite the narcissist. In other words, he had a lot of the bad traits that Trump has that people don't like. Roosevelt and Churchill alike hated dealing with him because he was so difficult. But they understood that he was necessary and had the capacities to lead France at their worst moment in 1,000 years. And so I count de Gaulle as a very great statesman. And he had some good personal qualities, too, that are not well known. But boy, was he a difficult guy. And that's the closest I can come. There's no other president I think he's like at all, except maybe Andrew Jackson. But that's almost 200 years ago. It's hard to, the pre-modern presidency and pre-modern country.
I did think of Jackson as you started speaking because he died with two bullets in him. You have to love a man who can achieve that. However, now we come to the what doesn't work, what does work for Donald Trump? The growth of government, that was Wilson to FDR to Lyndon Johnson, and limited government. Is that something that Donald Trump represents, limited government, or is that an aspirational on his part?
Well, I think right now you'd say it's aspirational. Spending is still out of control. That's not his fault, and it's hard to turn that around. And we'll see if he tries to get a grip on the spending problem in the next 3 years. I do think he is trying to restore the separation of powers, which have been badly eroded on purpose by progressivism. That's another thing Wilson hated was the separation of powers in our Constitution. And he's also challenging the bureaucracy, which is kind of the, as people describe it, the fourth branch of government that runs of itself and is accountable to no one. And so he's trying to get control of the executive branch and assert the ability to fire people and restructure agencies. And this is going to be very controversial for the next several years. There'll be lots of court fights. And we'll see if Congress wakes up and tries to sort out their part of this puzzle. But we haven't seen a president really try this. Reagan tried a little, but not very much. And, Nixon said he wanted to, but then he got ruined by Watergate. So we're now trying to return to a form of government we haven't really seen in maybe 75 years.
Yes. And another distinction you identify between progressives and the Gaullism of Donald Trump. Which has to do with utopian visions. And that is certainly Wilson and FDR. Lyndon Johnson had one as well, the Great Society, getting it into action. So we miss the utopian vision. I think that refers to Barack Obama's the justice bending
the arc of history bends toward justice. I think that's the phrase he likes to quote. Yeah.
Yes, that qualifies as utopian, does it, Professor?
Yeah, absolutely. I think two or three parts of this. One is Wilson and other progressives really borrow from the radicals, even the communists, in thinking that human nature is endlessly bendable, that human nature can be conquered by science and other ways, and therefore we can build a utopia out of our own goodwill. And maybe that was persuasive 100 years ago. I mean, there used to be, it explains partly the enthusiasm for socialism that young people always seem to come back to. The view of the founders, and I think it's the kind of view that Trump has, I think, instinctually, and other conservatives had for a long time, is no, human nature's real. A political power is something to worry about, and that's why you contain it with constitutional barriers. Progressives want to sweep that away because that's all in their way. I'll just add that one of the things I said in the article was, you know, progressives these days are really unhappy, miserable people for a whole lot of reasons. But one of them is none of the would-be successors to Roosevelt or Wilson has measured up to their hopes. And partly that's because our big government is increasingly incompetent. We can't control crime. We can't control the border until recent months. And we don't keep public order. Our schools are failing. And then they talk to us about how we're going to solve all of our problems. We're going to make people happy. We're going to do all these grandiose things. We're going to have, you know, health care for everyone that is affordable, and it still isn't. And increasingly, the progressive agenda is failing, and that is very frustrating for people of a progressive disposition.
It does give me a new look, however, at the continued unhappiness with Donald Trump by the very sophisticated media, the ones you and I read all the time.
Right.
He's not a visionary. He's not a utopian. He's not Wilsonian. Is that fair to say, Steve?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I mean, this is not news to point out that your elite journalists are overwhelmingly on the left. I mean, I think if you look at the voting registrations of the newsrooms, the New York Times or Washington Post, it's, 95% Democrat. And it's one thing for the news media to be biased, but it does seem by degrees in the last 10, 20 years, they've really picked a side openly. I used to know that a journalist might be liberal, but I thought their reporting could be relied on to be factual at least and try and present both sides of the story. And that has almost entirely disappeared.
So because Donald Trump does not make 14 points in 1918 or speak of the New Deal in 1934, therefore, he is judged as inadequate. Could it be that simple, Professor?
Yeah, I think it is. This is not brand new. I mean, that was the criticism of Dwight Eisenhower when he was president. Oh, he's unimaginative. He's boring. He doesn't want to use government to make the country move faster and go new places. We've changed our mind about that. Eisenhower is now regarded, I think, by objective historians, including many liberal historians, as having been a good president. But at the time, if you don't speak in these idealistic terms, that becomes the basis of a general criticism that I think is, wrongheaded to the core.
And the Constitution remains safe?
Well, I mean, I sometimes half joke that our Constitution may not be perfect, but it's better than the government we've got today. So certain parts of the Constitution remain pretty robust. The courts are pretty good at protecting our free speech rights and the First Amendment. Gun rights, those were up for grabs even 20 years ago. And the Supreme Court said, no, you have an individual right to own a gun. And they take a very tough look at gun restrictions that states and cities try to pass. So some constitutional safeguards for liberty and institutional structures survive, but others have been eroded, including the biggest one I mentioned, which is this vast bureaucracy that runs all by itself out of the control of either Congress or the president in some cases.
Steve Hayward at Pepperdine University for Civitas Outlook. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
There's a time and a place for a filet of fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.